The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
See Live Off the Record with Chivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Grand Bahama News, RF Banking Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. 16. You can text us on 4224796. That's 4224796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. That's 4393043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. BTC Flow channel 612. Listen, on Wednesday, yes, this Wednesday coming, the by-election in West Grand Bahama and Bimini will take place, and we will find out in due course whether the PLP retains the seat that became vacant as a consequence of the passing of the Honorable Obi Wilchcombe, or the FNM takes the seat, or that the COI captures the seat, or one of the independent candidates captures the seat. And the thing down there is getting hot. In fact, to some degree, in my way of thinking, it's getting, I wouldn't say uncharacteristically nasty, because it is not unusual for elections in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to become nasty. That is not unusual. It's not unusual for people to find themselves embroiled in scandalous accusations made about their lives, personal life, whether that has to do with their sexuality or has to do with who they're having sex with or has to do with how much money they got and how they got their money or who is doing what to who and who's doing what with who. That is not unusual at all. So let's not pretend that that's unusual. Okay, now, it is in fact one of the tools of politics that some people and some parties deploy as a part of their campaign strategizing. And it becomes especially caustic and especially sharp when one party feels, or one entity or one person feels, under the gun more than others and feel that they have to ratchet up the nasty, ratchet up the ridiculous, ratchet up the allegations in order to get the other side to look bad or worse than themselves. That's not unusual. Okay, so it ain't unusual for surrogates in the form of some media enterprise, especially these days with all of the fringe media available, to have them be surrogates for parties or personalities in spreading some of those things and some of those rumors. Now, let's be clear. Okay, let's be clear. Okay, can I be truthful and clear today, or do you prefer me to dance around the mulberry bush? Which do you prefer? Let me know. Y'all text me and tell me what you want me to be clear. You want me to be straight, or what? You want me to make sure I don't get myself in any difficulty today, so that I don't have been accused of being biased and what have you today? So maybe if I could just stay away from all of this, or do you want me to do what I always do, which is try to be straight and frank and clear about the things that I observe, think, or feel about a situation? Which do you prefer? Okay? Because I told you all weeks ago, I told the candidates we will be listening. I said we'll be observing. I told the parties we'll be listening, we'll be observing. So tell me what you want me to do today. Right? Because let's be clear, right? There are some sensitive people in this country. Very sensitive. Politically very sensitive. I already been called wicked and evil. But I didn't mind that too much because that's true. Right?
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together, and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Get ready to jingle all the way to Christmas with Fidelity's Festive Giveaway, with over $10,000 in cash and prizes up for grabs. Apply for a loan or open an ASU savings account for a chance to win big. Visit any of our branches for more details. Terms and conditions apply.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons. nonsense?
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com. Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. So glad that you could join us here today. Let me just warn you guys about something, right? I told you, y'all know that I shared with you my medical challenge, and in the course of dealing with that, I have appointments that I have to meet. And so as I meet some of those appointments, sometimes it becomes a bit of a challenge to balance this and that. So sometimes I have to improvise in trying to get to you, to get to the show and so forth. So sometimes it creates a little bit of technical difficulty, for which I apologize, but hey, what can we do, right? So we do what we have to do, because I'm trying to be here for these current discussions happening in the country. And what I was beginning to indicate was that there's nastiness flying around the place in this by-election. And this is not unusual in our country and in our politics, right? We've been through this. People take liberties, and because they get to hide behind sheets, they get to hide behind social media platforms, and they can write, nobody knows who they are. They can spit out whatever they want. They can put out flyers and all kind of nonsense that they want, and never have to face the music for it. They don't have the same challenge that the candidates have. They're out front. Their names are known. They know who everybody is. But they sit behind some disguise, some veil, and some being paid to do the nastiness that they do.
And they think it's okay just to go and spit up on people's lives, whether a thing is true or not, just to spit up on people's lives. It don't make no difference to them. They do it, right? And that happens. And there have been operatives, maybe even parties on all sides that have been guilty of this crap, okay? And it happens, right? It has nothing to do with elections. It just happens to do with maybe if I can make you look stink and nasty enough, maybe nobody wants you. But we know that ain't true. We've seen that don't really work, right? We've seen that because voters sometimes see past that and see through it and go, man, please, 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 right? Sometimes it does work. Sometimes it does work. Anyway, so we've seen memes about the PLD candidate, as I said, circulating prior to his being accepted as a candidate, right? Just nonsense. I'm talking about just what's put out there for what? It means nothing. It does nothing. It doesn't. It's not relevant to the job for which he's applying, right? But people will do this. Then, all of a sudden, now you can hear you got stuff out there on the Free National Movement's candidate Bishop Ricardo Grant, and actually one of the things I saw was a Tribune article about his being involved in a pyramid scheme, and I was like, so the headline was FNM candidate was involved in a pyramid scheme. And I thought to myself, well, what does that mean? I mean, like, so what's the point? What do you mean? Now, pyramid schemes are generally schemes in which somebody sells a story that if you sign up and pay a certain amount of money, but recruit other people who pay you a certain amount of money, and they recruit people and they pay, that eventually everybody will make all this money in the scheme. Now, it ain't selling nothing. No products, no services are being sold. And so people over the years, in an interest to make some money, thinking it's something doable, a lot, oftentimes the people who sell the pitch are seemingly credible people. And on the face of it, it's irrational that if I do this and recruit more people, I will make the money. And if they keep recruiting people, they will make the money. And if that happens indefinitely, everybody will make money indefinitely. People buy that, right? It really, in the end, almost always collapses on itself, right? But people buy into that. And there is no shortage of people. Y'all do not want me to call names of people who've been scammed in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Y'all do not want me to call names. Your tongue will drop out your mouth if I call the names of people I know who get scammed in this country. Okay? Why? Because they were terrible, corrupt people? No. Because they, can I say this to you? Because they, like our country, bought a story about what is possible. When did our country buy a story? When we allowed FTX to exist in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, we bought the story. Us, we in the Bahamas did. And what happened to that? It collapsed. That's what happens with pyramid schemes. People get sold a great story, and they buy into the story, and they, like other people, get to lose money in it. My understanding is that's what happened to Ricardo Grant and many other people. So you say, well, what does that mean for his judgment? What did it mean for the country's judgment that we bought into FTX? On the face of it, FTX seemed a credible entity. Bankman-Fried, a credible person. He was being talked about and hailed all over the place, including the United States of America, meeting with congressmen and people all across the world in America. But people were buying the story, just as people bought the tulip story, just as people bought the shipping story, the Indian Singham shipping company, all across, just as they bought the dot-com bubble. People buy stories. Why is that a story? Why is it a story that he was in a pyramid scheme? right? Like I don't get it. But anyway, that was the story. Then there was issues about, this one and their divorce. Seriously? Really? In the Bahamas? We want to talk about that? We really want to have that conversation in the Bahamas about people involved with politics, past, present, and future? That's the conversation we want to have? Well, please. So, but it's getting hot. Why? You know why? Whenever you see the competition gets intense, really rigorous, that's when you see this stuff start to pop up. People are under the gun. People are under the pressure. Now, my understanding is there is no question that the race in West Grand Bahama and Bimini now is very tight, extremely tight. And so now, I mean, everybody is under the gun. Even if the race is between the FNM and the PLP, the fact of the matter is a COI candidate becomes, an independent candidate becomes more significant because they can take votes from one side or the other. The only question is which side or the other would they take votes from. So a tight race ratchets up the thing for everyone. And I understand that race down there is tight, bro. And if you listen, you can see how tight this race is. On the FNM side of things, take for instance, they're bringing out all their big guns now. Okay, they're bringing out all their big guns. Mr. Ingram is now weighing in. Tommy Turnquist is now weighing in. Hey, down there in 8 Mile Rock, J.M. Pinder is weighing in. So they're bringing in their big guns. On the PLP side of things, they always had their big guns. They have the prime minister involved. They have the cabinet ministers involved. They have former cabinet ministers involved. You see Leslie Miller down there. Leslie Miller is doing a strategic work down there for them because Leslie Miller is down there trying to get people them to ignore the COI. Why would Leslie Miller be doing that? Because as Leslie Miller knows, he's a savvy politician. He knows that generally, that very often a candidate like that can take votes from your governing side if people are not happy with things. And he knows that. So the thing is, as tighten up and people are bringing out the big guns, listen to me. Seriously, let's be real, right? Let's be real. Do you hear the amount of things the government is doing now down there in West Grand Bahama and Bimini? Road contract signed for $2 million. Airport announcements. Renaming of this, plans to do the police station down there, right? You just see it. On the FNM side, they went ahead and tried to do a park in Pine Forest that people say needed to be done. The race is tight, and people are going all out to win it. Now, why? Now, the truth of the matter is, Ms. Ingram made some comments. Mr. Prime Minister made some comments I want to talk about during the course of the show. But here's the thing. What is really at stake in this by-election? Really? What is really at stake? Like, why would two parties go so fiercely at it? Why? What is really at stake? The government will not be toppled if it loses this seat. The power dynamics in the House of Assembly will not change if the government loses this seat. They will still have a significant majority, and they will still be able to pass any law they wish to pass, no matter if they lose this seat. They will still be the government of the Bahamas in control of the direction of the country. They will still be able to make policies and procedures. They will still have the power to do capital projects wherever they want it, whenever they want it, however they want it, however large. There will be no change there. If the FNM wins the seat, the FNM will still be the opposition in significant minority in the country. They will not be able to pass any law strictly with their own vote. They will, even though they will have an additional vote, they will not be able to affect anything in the constituency in the way of works that the government is responsible for. So what's the fight over? What is the fight over? What is this fight really over then? If nothing of a material power dynamic will change, what's the fight over? Think about it. What are you fighting for? Outside of the fact that, well, a seat has been made vacant and it has to be filled because the Constitution requires it to be filled given the given that the seat was made vacant by some means. So, on the one hand, the Constitution requires it, so you have to fight because the Constitution requires it, right? Secondly, to have the right to vote to replace somebody who unfortunately dies in office, and so people ought to have the right to do that. But think about it. If nothing material changes, why not just say, listen, they had the seat before, ain't nothing to change, and let them replace it, receive it, whoever, and we could save time, we could save money, we could save on a by-election, we didn't have to mobilize the parliamentary registrar for this affair, and people didn't have to go begging donors to go give money and buying T-shirts and putting up rally and all that kind of stuff, maybe millions of dollars, maybe we don't have to do that. But why? Why then do it? Why then do it? Why all this? And why go at it so hard? Why go at it so hard? Why go at it so hard? If the one thing that really matters to getting elected isn't going to change, which is power, why go at it so hard? Why go at it so hard? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. When we come back, let's see if we can answer the question. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
It's World Investor Month, and we're demystifying the world of investments. Let's talk about risk. Imagine investing as a tightrope walk. On one side, you risk falling. On the other, you have potential rewards. All investments carry some level of risk, even the safest ones. Understanding these risks is crucial to making smart investment decisions. This message is brought to you by RF Bank and Trust and the Bahamas International Securities Exchange. Learn more by following us on social media.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. Or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We were asking the question, why go so hard at this by-election seat that will not alter the power dynamics in the country one single bit? Will make no material difference to how the power is distributed and what power is in whose hands and who's able to use that purpose in the country. Why go at it? Well, again, one, the Constitution requires it. There has to be a by-election contest for the vacant seat of Obadiah Wilchcombe and West Grand Bahama and Bimini. So that has to take place for sure. Voters ought to have the right to find a replacement for their representative in the House of Assembly. So that has to happen. But why so hard, though? So hard that now you got typical salacious things circulating and all kinds of stuff. But the other day, the COI featured me in a video clip they got. You remember when I talked about the fact that, political parties in the end are the ones who get to have control in the House of Assembly and in the government, because it's the majority that forms the government, and then they then get to be able to pass whatever law is passed. And if you want to pass law, pass. If you're not a part of that party, you have to get their support to do so. And if you want something done in the country, all of a sudden this is featured by the COI. Featuring, this is the same set of statements I made when I was called wicked and evil. I was called wicked and evil, but now I'm a part of a political advertisement for them. I wasn't quite sure what to make of it. I wasn't quite sure, like, what was the point of it? Wasn't quite sure. Maybe I wasn't that intelligent, so I didn't understand it quite so clearly. I talked to some other people who couldn't quite get it either, but in any event, I was. So that, there you go, right? So now I'm part of your political campaign, I want you all to know your boy matters, in the thing, but people still think like using his name either for good or bad makes a difference. So it's getting like it's getting that kind of way now, right? Why? You know what it is? It's psychology. That's what it is ultimately, it's psychology. The psychology of winning and losing. If you're the Progressive Liberal Party, you're the government of the Bahamas, you're such a large majority, your member of parliament dies in office, right? Which would ordinarily win you sympathy votes, right? You own that seat. You're the government of the Bahamas. You have all the strings of power that you can pull, and therefore are able to do this, that, and the next thing, and you cannot win that seat. The psychological impact of that loss, I don't care what anybody say, would be significant. Would be significant. Huge. It would be a devastating blow to the Progressive Liberal Party. If you're the FNF, don't mind. Listen, I know you're a good old, wonderful, beautiful folk who want your party to win and don't believe this will matter. If your party loses this election, it will not be helpful. It will not, psychologically, it will not be helpful to the party. It will not be helpful to Mr. Pinto. It will not be helpful. It could be harmful to lose it. Because again, the psychology of it, you lost. You told people you were making up. You were making up all this grounds. The PLP was so lousy. The PLP was so terrible, so neglectful. And you still couldn't win? You still couldn't win with all of that? You couldn't win? So it becomes a psychodrama. You let the COI win. The COI wins, and all of a sudden, the FNM and the PLP are scrambling. Listen to me. That would be a sea change. Don't let anybody fool you. Listen to me. It would be a sea change. However improbable it is, it will be a sea change. Psychological blow. Everybody will be rethinking their whole political perception of what Bahamians are willing, prepared, and ready to do. That's why everybody getting at it so hard. Because it's a psychological war. And the people them who are watching the war will be, somebody says to me, don't forget the Menace Factor. He's stayed out of the camping. Yes. Yes. Again. I have to believe it's intentional on his part to this point to stay out. So if the FNM loses, he said, well, you see, I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do with it. And you lost it. Now, maybe if you did bring me in, I do have influence. And he does have influence. Maybe I could have made the difference. But no, you can't. I was out. I was in. Is that psychology of it? Then he gets to say, oh, you see they lose? I tell you all, Michael Pinta can't take you all into no election. I can tell you that will be a narrative. Listen to me. Michael Pinta is a dear friend of mine. Dear friend of mine. Okay? And I would want to succeed in his endeavors, as would any friend. But I know some of you, don't let your love for people blind you to the reality of some things. There is no question that if he loses, his opponents inside and outside the party will use that loss as a narrative against him. And they'll say, oh, but I mean nothing. Well, it may not, but it may mean something, right? And So you have all of this psychology, this psychodrama going on in respect of this by election playing itself out. And that's why people got to go at it hard. And they ought to go at it hard. Now, I don't say go at it unethically. I don't say go at it in any irresponsible manner. But they're going to go at it hard. And they are going at it hard. Some people are going at it unethically. And some people are going at it irresponsibly. They are. So, and people want that psychological edge. Boy, you could imagine for the next 3 years, I put it on you in that by-election. It's only a matter of time. Now, I used to government, and I put it on you in that by-election. Or you the government say, you see, well, bro, you went out there, you said this, you said that, you said the next thing, and you still get beat. You ain't got a chance in the next election. Right? The government might even sharpen its teeth from this election. Why? You go down there and people cussing you, telling you, listen, man, you all don't know how to deal with people. You all don't know how to treat people. Let me give an example. I tell you all that they don't get mad with me. The Prime Minister of the Bahamas said that Kingsley Smith is the only candidate with a plan to make West Grandmama and Bimini better. And he lists off the things that Kingsley Smith can get done if he becomes a member of parliament. The police station, the airport, the road, and all these kinds of Kingsley Smith. When I read it, I had to pack up. I said, but was not Obi Wilscombe a PLP member of parliament? Was he not? A PLP member of parliament? So how come he couldn't get it done, though? And he was a senior man, a senior minister. Why would a Kingsley Smith be able to do this? Quite frankly, why would a Obi Wilscombe be able to do it? Because Obi Wilscombe and Kingsley Smith don't get these things done. The government of the Bahamas deciding to get these things done, get them done. Right? So then Mr. Davis said, well, here's the thing. That these things that Kingsley Smith them and we are promising to be done over the next 3 years, if Kingsley Smith doesn't get those things done in 3 years, he can't come back to you. Wait. Listen to me. If in 3 years Kingsley Smith is not able to get these things done, he can't come back to you. But it's really not 3 years. It's almost 3 years. But 3 years is almost the same as the 2+ years Mr. Obadiah Wilsham had. The only thing that will change between this first 2.5 years and the next 2.5 years would be the who would be the member of parliament. But the government that is able to make those things happen has not changed and will not have changed. So why was Mr. Wilchcombe unable to get these things? Could you imagine? Could you imagine had the police station been done, the road been paved, the airport been done, and all these things were done, and unfortunately Mr. Wilchcombe died? Could you imagine the FNM trying to drum up an argument against the PLP under those circumstances in West Granbaum and Bimini? Could you imagine that? They could not, because the party would be able to demonstrate without any its work and effort in the constituency. And they would be able to say, look at all we got done, and look what you think would be able to be get done when the next candidate comes. So the government is the same government. It's the same argument, like, okay, so you're the opposition, you get in. Like, if y'all think governing is being a member of parliament is for getting things done in the constituency, how you get anything done in the constituency if it requires the government's resources to get it done? How? So listening to the dialogue seems rather odd in so many ways, right? The text says, so since these things are on offer as per PM, what if Smith loses? Will those promised things not be completed? Bang! 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 Right? You hear the text that asks? I appreciate that's the unsaid implication, but it's obscene and an abuse of public prison. Listen, this is the same thought you, I, and other people had. So if Mr. Smith doesn't get in, think about this. This is how really interesting this is. The government has already identified these things as things that need and ought to have been done. A cabinet minister, the member of the cabinet, the minister for public works, said, and I'm going to talk about this a little later on, he said, when I became the minister of public works, I went to each of my cabinet colleagues, not his parliamentary colleagues, because he didn't say that. He might have done that, but he didn't say it. And I asked them, tell me what your priority is in your constituency, not in your ministry, your cabinet ministry, not in your ministry, in your constituency. He said, and the roadworks that they just signed the contract for in Bimini, West Granbaum and Bimini, was one of the ones on Mr. Obadiah Wilsham's list. So the government has identified these things as things needing to be done. Well, if it doesn't retain that seat and these things don't get done, what do you call that? What would that be? What would that be reflective of? Would be the question that would come about as a consequence, having already identified these things. So you know, these elections can be quite tricky when the rhetoric isn't considered fully in the context of all that it can mean, past, present, and future. This text says the rhetoric this time doesn't seem much different than the last two by-elections. Maybe not. Maybe this is what is done. So this is the thing about these things, you know. At the time that they are happening, because they are by elections and they're the only thing in view and sight, that's what happens. You get to put full viewership on it. And whether it happened before or not contextualizes it so that people get to know what the deal is. But at the end of the day, it still is what it is today. And I said this to somebody the other day. I said, you know what the big problem with what we're doing is we keep undermining confidence in the institutions on the part of the public. So whether that happened in the last two by-elections or any before that, people start to see the trend and they continue to become more and more cynical, skeptical about the governing institution. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. We'll be back after the news. This road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We're talking about the by-election coming up on Wednesday and all the stuff that's going on, going around that we're hearing. So let me ask you all a question. If somebody gives you money to vote for them, what is that called? It's called treating, right? If I give you money to vote for me, because I'm inducing you to vote for me. It's an inducement, I mean, to vote for me. Okay. So let's suppose I don't use money, but I instead buy you something you say you need, like a refrigerator or a laundry machine, or if I get you, something, food, what is that called? Treating. It's an inducement. I didn't use cash, but I used something to induce you. And what if I get your child a job or you a job so that I could so that you could give me your vote? What is that called? Is that not an inducement? It's an inducement, right? Because I am doing it with the hope that you will give me your support in the way of a vote, right? What if I am campaigning and you say, well, our park needs to be fixed and I fix your park? If the government fixes the park, if the opposition fixes the park, what is that called? Is that an inducement? Because is it being not being done in the hope that you could see me favorably and give me your vote? So that's an inducement, right? What if I give money vouchers out, like you get money vouchers from the government or the opposition gives some kind of money voucher? What is that called during an election campaign? Is that not an inducement? Is that not treating? What are all those things? Well, by my measure, those are treating. Those are inducements. Somebody says called bribery, but part of the job, really? Part of the job during an election? Okay, let me tell you the difference. If you were giving out vouchers widely all across the Bahamas, if you're the government, you could say that's part of the job. If you were giving out vouchers all across the Bahamas and you're the opposition, you could say, okay, that's part of the job. In the constituencies where there are, as a campaign going on, and the one that wants where they're not, you say, okay, I'm just doing what I do, right? If you were doing that all across the country, that's the election. And if you were doing that before the by-election, and you did it in the by-election, someone might make the argument, well, that's not treating because this is a program you started and were doing long before. But if it intensifies during a by-election, man, you treating. You are treating and inducing voters. Right? So if parties are doing that, then they are participating in inducement of voters, right? That's what they're doing. Now, the leader of the Free National Movement says that the PLP is buying votes. That's what he says. PLP is buying votes. He said, though, that the PLP is putting $1,000 in T-shirts. Now, we've heard this before. This, when I ran in 2012 last, we heard that was done. Election before that, we heard that was done in the Bishop Gomez said that he heard the same thing was being done, and lots of allegations of claims were being made at that time too. So it had been alleged against both political parties. So we heard that it was being done, but you cannot make definitive statements like that without evidence and proof. And then you have the chairman of the party come behind and say that they don't have any proof of it, but they heard of it. Well, if you don't have any proof of it and heard of it, you should say it in a way that reflects that. You should say, you know, I'm being told we are getting reports of X, Y, and Z, so that it doesn't come across so definitive that that's what you're doing. Because that would be, I mean, like, you know, that's like, someone could say it's like not responsible, right, to do such a thing. To come out and say that a political party is sending around $1,000 bills in T-shirts without evidence to support it, you know, that would be like the other side coming and saying, alleging things against you without evidence too. And you know that road, that slope, is far too slippery to go down, man. Listen to me, folks. This isn't even about the FNM, the PLP, the COI, and them. This isn't even about them. You know what this is about? This is about the voters of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Let me tell you why. Voters becoming distraught about their electoral process to the point of not trusting it, to the point of looking at it cock-eyed and thinking this is a joke, is not good for the democracy. And the next step from that is to start taking matters into your own hands in ways that makes of the process a real shamble. What's next? We got to be careful we don't walk down that road. We got to, you know, and generally speaking, let me tell you, Michael Pintard, Brave Davis has kept a high bar in terms of their political rhetoric and the years of their opposite being prime minister and opposition leader. They've kept a fairly, I thought, high bar, right? You know, don't sink it now. Don't do it now, right? But again, when the heat is on, you know, people step out and do things and say things, and you don't want to allege that kind of stuff in that manner if you don't have proof. Especially if your chairman can come out and support the fact that you don't have proof. You don't want to do that, right? So that becomes a thing, right? It becomes a thing. So in this by-election, is inducement happening? Let's be real, right? West Grand Bahama and Bimini been there for the last couple of years. No signing of road, right? No signing road contract. No movement on any number of things. The people down there said they need it, and now movement. Why? It's the government's work. You'll be hard pressed to say the government is guilty of treating by doing that. You'd be hard pressed to prove it because this is the government, this is what the government does. But the optics of it becomes quite apparent to anybody who looks, right? Is this new? No, it's not new. Not new. You go in these by-elections, whether there's the FNM or the PLV, and things need to be done. People get angry, upset, and some people make things happen. Listen, if you want Chicago Lang to pretend that only one side of the divide that is do these things, I would be lying to you and to myself, and I will not do it. During these campaigns, not just at by-elections, but even during the general election. Governments can accelerate addressing certain things in constituencies as a means of making themselves look better. Do they in the end make a difference to whether you get it, you keep power or not? I don't think so. It might impact how badly you lose or how much you win sometimes, but I think on the margins though. I don't think in the mean. Once you see voters in the mean have made up their minds about you, you could do all the road works, you could do all the airports, you could do all the stuff in the world you want, it won't make a difference. They'll say, thank you very much, but see you later. That's my view. And it takes time for that disposition to set in with voters. They don't wake up one morning and say, you know what, I tired of you, you gone. That don't happen. Over time, especially over time of your governance or over time of your conduct and behavior as opposition, they build up this thought and notion about you and then decide, all right, I've had enough. And then, when it's time to vote, they get rid of you. Text says, if a person takes money for a vote or a job for a vote, it's prostituting your vote, a.k.a. treating. Absolutely. In Selang, I heard about money being passed around, but I have never said nowhere to go to receive such funds because I never seen it. You don't know where to go? I wouldn't know myself. I don't know myself. So that's all the salacious details of what has been happening, what I've heard, what I've observed taking place. I tell you one thing: we should have a by-election in every constituency in Grand Bahama. If you had a by-election in every constituency in Grand Bahama, maybe like the place would boom. Right? All that activity, all the promises, all the opportunities for better might come. By-elections do that. They do focus the government's attention on deficiencies that exist in a place where they want to win a vote. By-elections do that. They certainly do that. Now, so I thought, and I don't know if the minister really intended this to come across this way, but the Minister of Public Works said, when he became the Minister of Public Works, that he went to all of his cabinet colleagues and he asked them what were their priority capital works in their constituency. And then he said, oh, among the things on Mr. Grand Bahama was the road works that they just signed a $2 million contract to do. And I thought to myself, wow. So I've been in cabinet. I sat in cabinet for 10 years, non-consecutively, 10 years. And I could promise you, I do not recall. It ain't never happened to me that any Minister of Public Works came and asked, like, what's the priority capital works in your constituency? Never one time. Never one time. Not even what the priority capital works in your ministry, because in the budget, you outline the capital works to be done in the budget. And the only place and area where I got to be able to determine where things were done with some monies was that $50,000 that was made available to each member of parliament to affect things in their constituency. It was only $50,000 at the time. No, then it was the $100,000. That was the only thing. But to have a member minister come to me and say that they were going to do this, what was your priority in your constituency? That never happened. And I thought to myself, why would a minister of public works go to his ministerial colleagues with that in view, right? Why would he do that for his minister? exterior colleagues, not his parliamentary colleagues, right? Because wouldn't your parliamentary colleagues matter too? And while you added, shouldn't you, as a government minister, ask that also of the opposition parliamentarians? Because you are the government for the whole Bahamas. Can I say that again? You're the government. The taxpayer monies come from FNMs, PLPs, DNAs, COI, from non-Is, non-As, non-M, non-Ps. The taxpayer money comes from all of those. Those taxpayer monies don't have written on them for FNM constituency, for PLP constituency, for ministers of the PLP constituency. That's not where that money comes from. You can't. That can't be the mindset in utilizing monies from the public treasury. So, which means then that if you are not a minister, and with a constituency, because not all ministers have constituency, because some ministers could be in the Senate. But if you're not a minister with a constituency, the Ministry of Public Works won't pay attention as a matter of priority to projects in your constituency? Was that the method? Well, I'm saying that's what came across. And I thought it was rather curious, right? Rather odd, actually. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host, Rhea Nadine.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95. Including that, this Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
It's World Investor Month, and today we're tackling a common problem, inflation. Inflation makes your money worth less over time. So how do you combat it? Think of investing as your shield. By putting your money in investments that typically grow faster than inflation, like stocks or real estate, you can protect your purchasing power. This message is brought to you by RF Bank and Trust and the Bahamas International Securities Exchange. Stay informed by following us on social media.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. We have a text here. Text says, Mr. Lang, you don't think it's insulting for someone to give you money for a vote? I would be all offended. Well, maybe so. You would be. I mean, I don't know about being insulted. I know that it's wrong. And so it's against the law. So that's what would come into play for me. It's against the law. There are lots of people who might think there's nothing wrong with that. If they're taking the money, they're obviously not insulted, right? So if that's what's happening, if somebody's offering money, that they obviously don't see anything. They don't feel any kind of way like that about it. It's just against the law. Our laws actually provide a penalty if you're caught doing any such thing. So, which is one of the reasons why if I were the FNM, and I am hearing of these things taking place, I wouldn't announce it. Well, you know, there's two views about that, right? I wouldn't announce that this. I would try and catch them. I'd like try and catch them, right? So I set up something where people could be filmed, you know, filmed doing it or something of that, of recorded or something like that, you know. Otherwise, though, why you announce it, and this might be Mr. Pintard's strategy, is you announce it so that people become more conscious about it and then maybe get scared, and it causes the people who might be doing it to not be as liberal about it, and so that could dampen the effect of doing it if, in fact, it is being done. That could be a strategy, too. See, these things could go all kind of ways. All kind of ways these things could be done. Let me leave that. This text says they want to go down that road because it will affect both parties. So don't people know right ideas? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. You know,
very good.
I've been listening for a while now to all the stuff that is being done and said in West Bahamas.
Yeah. And okay.
I have a feeling that what it come off to me as a bit threatening to the voters to say, if you vote for me, these things will never get done. The way the prime minister is saying. And it's scary, because for a prime minister to say such in a public forum is like there's no shame, there's no pride. You know, he's telling you outright, if you don't vote for my man, don't look for these things to get happen under nobody else. So that means if Mr. Grant get in, we ain't trying to wait for him. That's what come up to me. Now, I may be wrong, but I don't know how you see it,
But that could also be a trap, too, because if, in fact, you don't get the seat and these things don't happen, then doesn't the voter get to conclude that you are spiting them because they didn't give you their vote?
True.
Ingram, that was Ms. Ingram kind of argument, right? So Ms. Ingram went to the rally in Bimini, and Ms. Ingram said, you know, look at all these years, you had representation and you didn't get anything done. And in point of fact, if I'm you, I would actually vote against them, because if you vote against them, you'll make them pay attention to you, because they're going to want your vote in the general election, and then they're going to have to do some things to say they did some things in order to get your vote in the general election. So Mr. Ingram kind of used a backdoor way of trying to get voters to vote for the FNM by saying, in voting for the FNM, you'll actually advantage yourself. Because when the people were in, they didn't do anything for you. But maybe now that they'll be out, they'll want to do something for you so they could get in the next time around.
Exactly. But, you know, however, we all know it's not going to get done until leading up to the next general election. It's not going to get done.
Yeah, but Mr. Ingram's point could also backfire in this way, though. Because if, in fact, then Mr. Ingram said, if you vote for them, then against them, they'll pay attention to you so they could get your vote. And if they do, then people might think, yeah, well, maybe I should vote for them.
True.
Why should I vote? See, why should I vote for the FNM to be the government? Because the FNM might be like the PLP. When the FNM get in, they may not do anything. And so you got to actually vote against people so people could do something for you.
It can go either which way or in way or out way. But at the end of the day, I still feel like that's not becoming of a prime minister to see.
I absolutely. No, the government should not want the narrative to be, we only do for those constituencies with public funds that support us. That should not be the narrative. That's for sure.
As a part of the general public, as a part of the people, you know, that has been a thing in our mindset. From way back when, you know,
no question about that. That's the way people have felt, but most administrations, they felt like they favor their constituency.
Saying, for me, is something I'd be felt about the PNP administration from that time.
I understand. But I've been in politics for a little while and around it for a little while, and I've observed narrative like that said in on both sides of the divide. Though, so I can't say that I have not heard that narrative on the FNM side. I cannot say that.
Okay, but yeah,
I can be honest with you. You know, we would say, if you vote for us, you know, if you're voting for this, that, and the next thing for your constituency. We've been there.
We need to be called out on that, though. That's wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes, sir.
All right. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. All right. I don't know what happened to them. So let me put in some perspective. My experience listening to Sir Lyndon was not that rhetoric at all. You know, I didn't. But that behavior was seen, though, that there were constituencies that were PLP supporters that tended to get some help with respect to some things. And so even people would talk about what happened with Long Island under the PLP, PLP's first tenure, and islands like that, and Grand Bahama that typically voted against the PLP. So you could observe in the public works some instances in which things seem not to be done for those areas. Yet, it's hard to make that argument altogether when you consider what were PLP supporters, constituencies in New Providence that were PLP supporters did not get much in the way of public works done in them, notwithstanding the PLP had been in office for 25 years. So it's hard to make the argument that they only did for this constituency that was theirs versus those that were against them, when you had many that were supportive of them for long periods of time that were left without any meaningful public works being done. In fact, the electrification, the waterification of islands, many of those things took place when Mr. Ingram came to office. Notwithstanding that the PLP had represented those constituencies for a long time, and the FNM, Ingram did get rewarded in 1997 with I think he got all but one of the seats in the Family Islands. Okay, but it isn't unusual for hints of, you know, you get paid attention more when your member of parliament is with us. I mean, it's not. But now, like in this by-election, the government ain't joking. The government is not joking. The government going down there with all the arsenal, $2 million road contract, an airport promise, police station promised, the whole works, it's very clear. The government ain't joking. They're telling them, listen, man, you do the right kind of thing. We with you. And that is not easy for an opposition to compete against. You know, but they got to. They try. If you have a caller on the line, go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hey, what's up?
All is great. Thank you once again for taking my call. Every point you made from the beginning of this show was hitting and mashing toes. I mean, it is like amazing. But
well, just make sure when they didn't mash me up, please just save a mint for me. Yeah, that might be all I get to eat.
It's the truth, and it's honest. It is just unbelievable how sometimes persons can think that they're getting better because of a particular party, think that they're gonna receive the things that they're requesting or required for that particular constituency, but if opportunity over and over and over, whether it's to an individual or a party, and you don't get the result, it's time to move on. Some analogies.
Well,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, sometimes people get the results, you know. Sometimes they do.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes it was good at the, it was good for that particular period in time, but as the constituency grows and the needs of the people shift, the times shift. You have to also be able to move with that.
But here again, what are you voting for though? What are you voting for? Are you voting for a member of parliament? Are you voting for a mayor? Or are you voting for a government? What are you voting for? That matters to what you get, right?
Exactly.
Right? So, you know, we can knock politicians. We can say that they're fooling people. Are they really, or are they responding to what seem to be indicating they want?
Absolutely.
See, if you as a voter, like if you ain't interested in the law and you're not interested in legislation and you're not interested in policy, you just keep talking to me about your churning, I ain't got no job, this one need a scholarship, I need a government contract, I need a government house. Well, what is a politician really to do?
That's right. Do whatever the people want them to do. And if they want to get tricked, then that's what it is. They get tricked.
Yeah.
Trick or treat.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can't have, think about this for a moment, right? You call in, you tell me this. So somebody mentions that the PLP is buying votes. Some people texting in and saying, oh, you know, that's wrong and it shouldn't happen. So let me ask you a question. Could you have vote buying if no one is selling?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So vote buying is more, as much an indictment on the seller as the buyer. If we can call out the government, if we can call out the opposition, we should call out the voters.
That's right. Same thing with
right.
Christmas. Do you depended on that MP? That's not what the MP is for.
Yep.
You depend on that turkey and ham. Some one refrigerator, some get, some don't. And you call a man all kind of thing other than the child of God, if that's what he is. But but you got to understand what the purpose of that particular person is and hold them to those reins so that community, that's what is decaying. The whole process of community-minded, everybody gets, or a lot of people get individually-minded, and it goes sway off to the left. Then you see you got the disparity growing between who have and who don't have. And there lies a whole gamut of problems.
But let's be clear. Let's be clear. Be very clear. There is no such thing as, well, vote buying cannot be sustained if vote selling is not sustained.
Absolutely.
If a fellow offer 100,000 people a car to sell and nobody wants to buy, would a car be sold to 100,000 people?
You have a lot.
Yep. So folks, if we can talk about who buying votes, let's talk about who selling votes. So, and you know, sometimes politicians, you know, we say, let's speak truth to power a lot of times. And a lot of times people take that to mean we need to tell politicians like it is. But sometimes you need to tell the public like it is. If corrupt politicians are selling votes, corrupt voters are, I mean, if corrupt politicians are buying votes, corrupt voters are selling votes. And if corrupt politicians can buy enough votes, that means you have enough corrupt voters selling votes. And so all of them got problems. We appreciate you calling, man. We appreciate you calling. It is as simple as that. And I keep saying, if we don't balance this dialogue about the integrity or the lack of integrity of our constituency by understanding that these things have both sides of the fence, there's no such thing as bribery that doesn't include two people involved, except when you get trapped. Be live, I'm Shavar Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I ain't mashed the car. The lady who run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Child, Fidelity can on this year with their new festive giveaway. You can win cash, an iPhone 15, get a bill paid off, PS5, all kind of things. Apply now and you could win. Try our call them now. Yeah? 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have a text here that says, good show as usual. However, we all know our Prime Minister does mean if you don't vote for the PLP, those things promised will not be done. Find someone at the table is before negotiations. No Prime Minister, President, past think like that. Well, I think I know what you're saying, even though your words may not have conveyed it exactly. I agree with you. It is possible that what the Prime Minister is saying is a Sivan, you know, vote for us because then you'll have somebody in the government, with the government, who can advocate for you. But then, see, you shouldn't have to explain that. If the Prime Minister is a very articulate man. He's quite capable of expressing his thoughts in ways that can leave little room for misunderstanding and misinterpretation. So he could have and should have said it in a way where he could say, listen, we're your government. We are obligated to do things for all of the Bahamas, etc. But the fact of the matter is, when you have somebody at the table who is particularly concentrated on your issues and what have you, then you have somebody who can continuously remind us, continuously tell us, listen, you need to be doing this. My constituency need to do that, etc. Now, again, that argument might fall on deaf ears for the reason that Obi Wilson was not at the table and these things could not get done. But subject to misinterpretation the way some people might interpret it, right? So yes, that might be what he meant, but look, but you are now having to explain that, though. That's not coming from his words. You aren't giving me back his words and saying, but that's what he said. He didn't say that, right? And that's the challenge, right? But I understand the heat of the campaign, and I understand what's going on. And let me be also clear. I also understand that the Prime Minister may well have wanted to put it the way he put it so that people could feel some pressure to vote for his candidate. He may well have been able to be trying to get you to say, listen, things happen more for you when you have your own with us. He might well have been saying that. Now that people interpret it in the way they've interpreted, you say, well, Lord, that don't sound good, so maybe he wasn't trying to say it like that. But let's be real, man. In politics, veiled threats do get it uttered. They do the veiled threats that suggest you could be with us or you're with them. And if you're with us, X, Y, and Z happen. If you're with them, anyway, the thing during his Bimini speech alluded to the fact that we need to have balance in the House of Assembly. He alluded to the fact that, you know, at one point he had 23 seats and the other side, I think, had, what, 17 seats. And he alluded to this. Sometimes, you know, you don't kick everybody out. Don't kick everybody out. Save some. Well, I would be fine if the voters of the Bahamas spread across all the 20-some inhabited islands of the Bahamas used to caucus together and decide how they can do it. Imagine all the voters getting together, 200,000 of them, and saying, okay, now listen, this is how we can play this one out, right? So we can give it to the PLP this time, or we can give it to the FNM this time, or we can give it to the COI this time. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to give the FNM 23, the PLP 17, or we can give the COI this and that. If that used to be what happened, then you could get together and say, yeah, we can balance this out. But all of us go in the vote, and we basically vote in our individual voting, or we vote in our family vote. I don't know what the people in Macau can do. And the people in Macau don't know what the people in Andres can do. So you don't get that kind of coordinated vote carrying on. So we get the vote we get. You get the vote you get. There's no collaboration among voters to determine how they could coordinatedly decide how much seats to give each party. Boy, if voters could do that. Listen to me. I promise you, in the day that could happen, the voters of the Bahamas would be the most powerful political machinery in the Bahamas, and you would get from the political directorates what you want. If they thought you could get together and collaborate like that, there is no question you would be the boss of the politics of the Bahamas. Think about it. Bro, listen. I speak for all the 200,000 of us. We didn't caucus. We didn't have our meeting. And we are going to give it to who we decide to give it to. So what's your plan? What you think would happen then? It'd be something. You know that dude don't stand a chance. But see, I don't want them cussing me no more, man. They say I'm unfair, I evil and wicked, and they are in the contest. I have to call their names. Along, I don't call as oftentimes too, because I speak of them in the context of party. They are political. They are the party. They are a party that's a coalition of independent candidates. They are a party that is a coalition of independent candidates that rave against parties. Okay. But be it as it so voters don't collaborate on voting. They don't coordinate their vote. They don't cooperate in voting. So it isn't quite practical and pragmatic to even say to voters, try and coordinate your vote, you know, and balance so you can get a balance, even though that might be desirable, because it doesn't happen that way. In any event, when the FNM had 23 seats and the PLP had 17, what difference did that ever make to the power dynamics in the country? Did not the government still do what it wanted to do? Did not the government get past what it wanted to get past? Why? Because for the most part, most people were ministers or chairs or something. So, them votes is coming to you anyway. Guarantee you the kind of thing that I think Mr. Ingram agrees would be useful, which is having a backbench that could be influential. So, here's my recommendation for getting that kind of balance. Listen to me. You all tell me what you think. If you want greater balance and greater independence in your House of Assembly and them, and greater accountability to the, for the government. Tell me if this, you don't think this would help. First, make members of parliament full-time, pay them the same salary as ministers. We say the branches of government are equal. That's what we say. We say the branches of government are equal. Well, why do judges get paid more than ministers and ministers get paid more than members of parliament if the branches are equal? That makes no sense to me. So pay them all the same thing. Secondly, put in law, in constitutional law, that the members, the cabinet cannot, members of the House of Assembly cannot constitute more than 8% of the seats in the House of Assembly. In other words, 70% of all the members of parliament have to be non-cabinet ministers, and they cannot be heads of state-owned enterprises as boards or chairman of boards or of the boards. Tell me if that wouldn't do it. So you all heard what I said, right? Full-time members of parliament paid the same as ministers. Secondly, you limit the number of members of parliament that could be cabinet ministers, and none of them could serve as chairman or on the board of state-owned enterprises. Let me know what you think. I on the floor when you describe what the CIA is. They will say you finally get it. Video coming. I finally get that they are a party of independent candidates. I called a very astute lawyer in the country, very astute, very well respected. And I asked him. I didn't even do it with any commentary. I simply asked. I said, is it a oxymoron to be a party of independent of a party that is a coalition of independent candidates? And he said, absolutely. Absolutely. That was the take. Yeah. Right? So let me know what you think. As I indicated before, if you made them all get paid the same, that way to be a member of parliament, you wouldn't want to become a cabinet minister so you could get paid that change. It ain't good, but it's change. It's higher change than a member of parliament. You could still be a member of parliament. And then similarly, you can't become a cabinet minister. 70% of you can't become a cabinet minister. You're guaranteed a 70% backbench. Backbench? What do you think the change that happens? So, I put it on the table for you to consider. Head coach of Ole Miss, Yolette McPhee. Please forgive me because I know she's married. I know her from she was a little girl. Moan McPhee's daughter, Coach Moan McPhee, excellent veteran senior coach. Country had so many basketball players, Pastor Hassan, including his own daughter. She's done extremely well. And she, don't just be liking us when we do something. How about you show us some support with me, Aunt, when we trying to do something? So she's asking Bahamians to, yes, McGuin, yes, McGuin, yes. So she's asking Bahamians to come out to Atlantis and support them. And I trying to do something. I trying to get some tickets because I'm going to go down there and support, right? So if you are able to, you should listen to her. This text says, I say to add to what you said, the ability to appoint non-elected secretaries like Secretary of Energy, Secretary of Commerce, Secretary of Technology, etc., to be able to sit in cabinet, place a limit on number of MPs and senators who can serve, and another limit for total cabinet. Maybe fix the secretary positions in law so we don't have dynamic changes by PM. Which secretaries? Which secretaries you want fixed? You mean the like these secretaries of commerce and them? So you want the prime minister to have somebody to appoint somebody, he can't move? No, man. It ain't gonna happen. You're not gonna find that nowhere in the world, bro. That's like saying you own a company, you're the CEO of the company, and you can't move somebody from the company. You really? No, it ain't gonna happen. I might be with you with some of the other stuff, but not with that one. No, sir. You serve in my government. And I can't move you, boy. No, please. You'll be gone the next day. I ought to have the right to do that. And even if you ain't do nothing bad, but you are not effective, and you're not effective to the extent that I believe, I should have the right to move you. Because he can move the person. He can't create secretaries as he wishes. Okay. All right, okay. I mean, okay. I wouldn't die in the ditch on that. But to get balance, we can't rely on the voters to do it, because voters cannot, will not. It's not practical for them to coordinate their vote to achieve that end. Voters go, generally speaking, the sentiments of the country tend to spread across the country. So if a government isn't, think about it for a moment. If a government isn't doing well, that display isn't only being displayed in one island versus the other island. It's being displayed across the country. So it isn't surprising then that the country feels a way, and you then tend to get these waves of vote where, you know, we swing in. One, we got 35, the F and M got 5. And then later on, F&M got 35 and the PLC got 5. That's not unusual to understand, because the waves of discontentment tend to be across the country. The only thing that tends to anchor that wave a bit is the anchor of base support that exists for these political parties. Right? But in the people who are prepared to change their minds, they're not in one area versus the other area. They're across the country thinking, man, I don't like this. So that's why you get vote out here, vote out there, vote. And they kick out all the ministers. Y'all don't joke around. You ought to kick out all the ministers. One time, you know, kick out the poor prime minister. All the ministers of state gone. And it always amazes me, like the day after, when I'm listening to things, people say, oh, Lord, even this one gone. That one gone. The Attorney General gone. That's how you all do it. And that's the way it's going to be, because voters don't coordinate their vote. Anyway, one more day left. Tomorrow, then the vote. We'll know what's going to happen. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us. Listen, God bless you. Have a great evening. He spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.